Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Colasar. Charging out. Colasar, the righty, shoots and scores! Colasar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the...
Woo!
The Golden Knights take three out of a possible 4 points to start this four-game road trip. We're going to dig into game ratings in hour number two with Darren Millard. That's right. Mallard's going to join us for hour number two. We'll get into one-timers then as well. Some interesting comments from Martin Brodeur about modern goaltending and how that might impact the Golden Knights in the final 10 games of the season. We'll dig into that in just a little bit. But as we do every single week, first show of the week, first segment of the week belongs to you. 702-876-1340, that's the number, 702-876-1340, taking your Vegas Golden Knights questions. Any direction you want to go. After last night's game, Vegas, a 4-1 lead going into the third period over the Nashville Predators, lose the game in overtime. You can view this in a couple of different ways. You can go glass half full, you can go glass half empty, you could be happy about the points, you can move in any direction that you want to, but I want to hear from you because we're talking about a Golden Knights team that right now is 6 points up on the St. Louis Blues, 9 points up on the Minnesota Wild for that final wild card spot, and they're just 1 point behind LA. There's room for the Golden Knights to move up. There's room for the Golden Knights to finish the season strong and get themselves into a really good spot going into the postseason. And even though they had a setback last night, I still look at this and say, if you were to tell me the Golden Knights on a back-to-back against St. Louis and Nashville, the hottest team in the National Hockey League right now, if you were to tell me that the Golden Knights were going to be able to take three out of four and beat the team they needed to beat, being St. Louis, I'd have taken that all day long before the road trip started. 702-876-1340. It's Ask the Insiders. Your commentary right now. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, first of all, thank you specifically because you had the tolerance of a pope last night in listening to my rant on the post game about the power play, and I know you guys will talk more about it in this next 2 hours, but I don't want to talk about the power play specifically, but thank you for allowing me to vent while I did. Yeah, it was nice. The thing that I wanted to mention is, and I am still confused about this, I'm a big fan of our video replay, and I can never remember his name. Help me, guys.
Mike Rogowski.
The booth. What's his name?
Mike Rogowski.
Rogowski.
Yep.
Mike Rogowski is a saint. I would trust him with my life. But on this particular occasion, he got it wrong, even though we all think he got it right.
I think he got it right.
Oh, I do. I mean, there's just, I don't know. I was much more confused about the Keegan Colasar call than I was about that one, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I don't understand. We're up by two goals. Now we're up by one goal, and there's still 7:43 to play. But that's not a lot of time. Why would we challenge at that particular time? Because we were so sure of ourselves?
I think they believed it was offsides. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you challenge in that moment because, one, you believe it's true. You believe that the play is offside. You believe that you've got an angle or whatever it might be that goal is coming back, and you have to challenge it in the moment. You can't challenge it later or anything like that. And it's a lot easier in that situation if you get it right, the goal comes off the board, and you've still got a two-goal lead as opposed to just having a one-goal lead and kind of letting it go. I don't have any issue with the challenge at all.
Well, the other aspect of that is, Mike, how many have they gotten wrong?
Not many.
None that I can
Not
remember.
Many.
So I think you look at the track record, first of all. Secondly, I think we're not being biased here when we all say that we all thought the goal was offside and it should have come back. It should have come off the board. I mean, and the other aspect, and me and Ryan kind of talked about it before the show, how do we not have a better camera angle?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the angle was pretty dicey, let's face it.
Like the overhead, I thought the overhead showed him off.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I'm not arguing about the fact that we got it right. I'm arguing about the fact that we called it at all or that we challenged it at all.
Yeah, I think if you believe in that moment that the play is offside, if you believe that there's an angle that shows it's offside, you challenge it every single time, regardless of what time it is in the game, regardless of any of that. I don't think you go into that challenge. Like, to me, that wasn't a 50-50 challenge from Bruce Cassidy and Dave Rogalski. To me, that was, this play is offside. We believe it's offside. Challenge it. That's what I think.
And how much of that, I mean, you heard Bruce in the post-game presser last night as well. He kind of knew his team was running on fumes. So if you win that challenge,
you give them 7.5 minutes to try to defend a 2-goal lead.
It's a huge swing, obviously, because they ruled it a good goal, and you go on the power play and you give up the goal. But if they get it right, they probably win the game.
Well, I still don't like the idea that they changed the rule 7 years ago. Just take the darn timeout away and don't make it a penalty if you do challenge. I think that's wrong to start with. But that's a topic for a different time, perhaps. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I want to get from you guys before I'm dismissed today is there is such a hue and cry about Macklin Celebrini. Is he as good as Connor Bedard? This is what I'm hearing, and I don't know how good this guy is.
Yeah, I think different players, Mike, and thanks for the call. We'll kind of dig into it. The way that I've kind of understood Macklin Celebrini in relation to Connor Bedard, if Bedard is like Patrick Kane, Celebrini's like Jonathan Toews. So more of a two-way type of player, a guy that can kind of go out there and give you some really solid minutes, not just in terms of being a great offensive player, but solid defensively as well. So maybe less of a points machine and more of a complete NHL player if he hits his potential. So that's kind of the way that I understand Macklin Celebrini. But to be honest, Mike, I'm not a big prospect guy. I do not have the inside information and the knowledge of every single prospect the way that some people that only focus on and only view prospects through that lens. But as it's been kind of explained to me, if you want comparables, if Bedard is like Patrick Kane, Celebrini is more of a Jonathan Toews type of player. Thanks so much for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. That's the number. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Keith. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, I guess I'm not glass half empty, glass half full. I'm more of opportunity lost with last night. You know, up 3-0, give up the one, get it back to 4-1, and I'm thinking, wow, this could not work out any better for the VGK. And then a couple of situations that came up. It was just a lack of pickup out front, I think. But that's where I'm kind of standing today. You know, great, glad 3 out of 4 points, great, but again, an opportunity lost.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong when you have a 4-1 lead in the third period for a team that's won a Stanley Cup and knows how to close out games. You want that to be automatic, and I'm with you. I believe you're right on the money there. But at the same time, I'm having a hard time quibbling with 3 out of 4 points, especially with that back-to-back St. Louis-Nashville. As good as Nashville's going right now, I think you take that all day long. It's great, and they should have had 4, but I'll still take 3 out of 4.
Okay, well, you're a better man than I am, Ryan.
Anything else you want to hit, Keith, before we let you go?
You know, thanks again. Looking forward to hearing Mallard back.
Yeah, he'll be on with us in hour number 2. Thanks so much, Keith, for the call. We appreciate it. 702-876-1340. That's the number. You know, another aspect of this, as well as Nashville played in that third period, the fact that the Golden Knights did get a point isn't insignificant, because Nashville very easily could have won that game in regulation. So that's something we should keep in mind as we're viewing the game last night.
That was kind of my worry. When Nashville equalized,
yeah.
I just had this feeling that the Golden Knights were not going to score in regulation.
Yeah.
And the way Nashville was playing in that third period and how empty the gas tanks were for the Golden Knights, I'm thinking, boy, just don't give something up here and get nothing out of this.
Yeah, that would have been obviously a disaster, and the Golden Knights were able to avoid it and did pick up a point. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Pat. Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Yeah, so yesterday was a very bittersweet game. I didn't go into the game expecting any points, but we got one. But we also resorted back to our previous selves from a couple weeks ago with mismanaging pucks in that third period and a total collapse. Could you chalk that up to fatigue, or like, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's second half of a back-to-back. Generally speaking, you're going to fade as the game goes on, and I think the Golden Knights did run out of gas. I do. Now, I'm not going to sit there and use that as an excuse. You've got a 4-1 lead. You got to find ways to make those little plays that are the difference between winning and losing, or losing out on that extra point and not. But I don't think we can look at that game and divorce the fatigue that had to have set in for the Golden Knights, having played twice in two games in 2 days.
Yeah. Now, do we expect to, take another step forward against Winnipeg, or like, what's the expectations with that game now?
Well, I want to know what your expectations are. I'll give you mine. You tell me yours.
I'm hoping that they still continue. They flush the last period last night, and they just move on with what they did in the first two periods in the past several games and move on with that. But I'm worried that those demons may resurface from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to take a step back in that regard, Pat. I do think that they've gained traction. I do think that they are closer to figuring things out for the better than not. And I think that this, that third period can serve as, an opportunity for the Golden Knights to come back pissed off. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't play a solid third period in Calgary, and they came back and they put together five really solid games in response to that third period. So I think that, if you look at recent history, I would expect them to get back on track tomorrow in Winnipeg.
Yeah, time will tell.
All right, great stuff, Pat. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340, that's the number. It's Ask the Insiders. Your questions answered by both myself and Chris Chapman. Let's bring in Sal. Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Great. If time permits, I had three questions. But first question, given that me personally, I only care about this team being healthy and being in the best form going into the playoffs, can you explain what's this earliest that Hurdle can be activated off LTIR? And since he hasn't played in a while, can it be backdated, how that process works?
Yeah, everything in terms of LTIR is retroactive to the first game that you miss. So in my understanding, Hurdle would be eligible. You can activate him at any point. I think he was ineligible to be activated until right around the trade deadline. So I'm fairly certain that he is in a position that when he's ready to go, he can be activated. It's not going to be a scenario where he's got to wait additional time to get into the lineup.
Perfect. I mean, it would be obviously ideal to have him on the ice for 5-6 games to get, I would assume he's going to be on the power play unit, and we're going to need him to have our best run. That leads me to point two. The only team that, as of right now, Vegas can kind of control on as to who they play would be Edmonton. The other three, Colorado, Dallas, Vancouver, it's going to be up down to the final day, and they're not going to be able really to control who they play in that regard. So I feel the playoffs are there. I'd say we are 91-92% just eyeballing it that we're getting in. Does it really matter the points or the standings? I mean, you're going to have a tough matchup regardless, round one.
The way that I look at it is get in. Doesn't matter where they finish. Get in, right? You want to be able to defend your championship. The only way that you can do that is getting in. You worry about the matchups later. Like, I think at this stage, you're either penciling yourself in to a matchup with the Edmonton Oilers in round number one, which would be awesome for the hockey world. It'd be amazing. Or everything's kind of up in the air and you might have a different path. But you know, the fact of the matter is, in order to win a Stanley Cup, you're going to have to beat good teams at some point. It doesn't really matter to me where they finish, so long as they're above the playoff cut line.
To be the best, you got to beat the best. So there's no easy road. Doesn't matter where you start, what seed you get. So I agree with that. Let's just get in, and whoever we play, we can beat anyone. We're not going to have home ice probably for any series or matchup going forward. Now, third thing off topic, I'm sure you've seen it. This is not a Vegas topic, but as someone who lived in Arizona for 9 years, I wish the hockey world can produce more people like the Shane Doan family after seeing what his son did in his debut. I love the loyalty that a guy can get drafted and play his whole career. He's not a Hall of Famer, but certainly an influential player in the hockey world. And just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, honestly, like the fact that Josh Doan came up through the Junior Coyotes, that he played at Arizona State, that he was drafted by the Coyotes, and in his debut with his dad there, the Mr. Coyote, right? Shane Doan, he scores his first two goals in the National Hockey League. It's awesome. It really is. And, you know, a big reason, I'd make the argument, a big reason why the Coyotes are still in Arizona is because of a guy like Shane Doan, who never went anywhere else, who always wanted to be kind of the face of that franchise. And thanks, Sal, for the call. I think it's a great moment. It's a great moment for Shane Doan. Obviously, it's a great moment for Josh Doan, and it's a great moment for the Arizona Coyotes, an organization that, frankly, hasn't had a lot of great moments to get behind the last couple of years. So good on them.
Yeah, and it's cool to see another kid come from I hate the term non-traditional hockey market because
that's what it is.
I think we're getting away from that now. I mean, it's still there, but we're slowly kind of getting away from that. Look, you could play hockey. You could play hockey.
Sure.
But it's cool to see a kid come from Arizona, grow up in the city, probably going to lots of Coyote games as a kid. I mean, yeah. we see the players here with their kids at games, you know, and as a father, I could only imagine the pride that Shane Doan has watching his son fulfill his dreams and doing so with the organization that he played his entire career with in a city he clearly loves and home. Like, not a lot of professional athletes have the opportunity to do it at home. Josh Doan has that.
Yeah.
And that's something that's, I think, really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It was an awesome moment, and good on Josh Doan for getting those first two. Let's go back out of the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're good.
So, I mean, when I called in last night, I said I wanted to be angry about that game, but I just wasn't. And, like, the longer I've been able to sit with it, like, I'm almost mad at myself for wanting to be angry. Just because the Knights really did have, like, a rough period there, right, where we were having a hard time. And I understand that it was just kind of an atrocious third period and overtime last night. Mm-hmm. But in perspective of how they've been playing recently, like, you just it's going to happen every once in a while. You're going to lay an egg in a period. And, you know, I am glad that with how that period was going, they got a point. And, you know, 3 out of 4 on a back-to-back is like, most people are not going to ever be mad about getting 3 out of 4 on a back-to-back with travel on top of that.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Stephanie. Thanks for the call. Like, you go 3 out of 4, you set yourself up to have a phenomenal road trip. Like, if the Golden Knights are able to get at just one of the next two games, you're looking at 5 out of 8 points. You'll take that all day long. That's better than 500. Now, I still believe that the Golden Knights are trending in the right direction. I still think this team is going to be fine, and I still think that they're going to bounce back tomorrow in Winnipeg, and they know how big of a game it is against Minnesota. You can essentially eliminate worry, at least in terms of the Minnesota Wild, if you beat them on Saturday. It's a huge game.
Yeah, and I'll add this. I don't think you should be angry about last night's result.
And I
think disappointed is probably a better way to feel, because look, I mean, I was disappointed that they blew a 4-1 lead in the third period, but I'm not angry about it because at the end of the day, they gained a point on the two teams chasing them.
Yeah, I mean, they're 6 points up now on St. Louis, same number of games left, and 9 points up on Minnesota, but it wasn't a great third period. I don't think it was as bad as a lot of people are kind of painting it out to be. The Nashville Predators are 16-0-2 in their last 18 games. They're living right. Everything's moving in the right direction for them. They're also a really good hockey team. I came out last night with a different opinion of the Nashville Predators. I think this team's for real. There's a couple of reasons why I believe that, but I do believe they are legit. I do think that they are for real, and they were opportunistic with every chance that they generated in that period. And I challenge you to go back and think about how many chances Nashville really had in that period. And that's where I'm going to leave that one. Let's go back out of the phone lines, bring in Rob. Hey, Rob, how you doing? Okay, no Rob. Let's go to Rick. Hey, Rick, how you doing? Rick, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't hear Stephanie's call, but I just wanted to stand up for the team and say that 3 out of 4 is amazing considering the travel. Mm-hmm. I know it's not an excuse, it's a reason. But those first two periods, I mean, the first period, that's a Golden Knights team right there. Second period, you could see them fading a little bit at the end. The Carlson goal was huge.
Yeah.
But I want to say Yuri Patera, that guy exceeded all expectations for me. He stood on his head and kept the Golden Knights at a 4-1 lead, you know, until the end there where he nothing much he could do about a few of those. But I really want to give him some props. And I was just asking, any word on Aiden Hill?
Nothing at this moment. Like, we don't have any timeline on Aiden Hill. Obviously, he didn't travel with the team, so I don't know that we're expecting him back on this road trip. So my guess is it's going to be Logan Thompson and Yuri Patera for at least the next two games. And then my best guess on that would be Logan Thompson gets both starts in Winnipeg and Minnesota.
And I think Logan's been playing his best also. And I think that coincides with the team coming together. And, I mean, Carrier didn't play last night, but him coming back, he is the generator, man. That guy just, I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with, and you have to, you know where he is because that he just makes that fourth line better than any other in the league.
Yeah, I agree with that. You miss Will Carrier. Like, just point blank, the forechecking pressure, what he means to that fourth line, setting the tone, setting the identity. I mean, you miss him when he's not in the lineup, and the fact of the matter is the Golden Knights missed him last night because you can roll over four lines in those situations, and you need to in the second half of a back-to-back, and the Golden Knights didn't really do that, right? Like, you had some movement, and thanks, Rick, for the call. Like, you had some movement inside the game, and Bruce Cassidy shortened his bench. You didn't see a lot of the fourth line in the third period protecting the lead. And that's unfortunate because this team's built on that. And when you don't have that option and you're already fatigued, it exacerbates the situation.
Yeah, when you have to shorten your bench in a situation like that, it's never ideal. You know, I want to touch on some of the things that Rick pointed out. I thought Yuri Patera played a really good game.
I wasn't mad at Yuri Patera.
No, I think there really isn't something. It's hard for a goalie to make plays and stop pucks from going in the net when the guys in front of him aren't stopping guys from getting pucks in the net. So I think he played. He made some really big saves early on in that game to kind of keep the Golden Knights with that momentum carrying over from Monday night into that first period yesterday. He played a good game. And I do think though Logan is going to carry. We'll see. But you know, I think Patera played a good game. I mean, considering the guy hadn't seen the NHL and a couple of months, and you're bringing him in, maybe not cold, but in a tough spot. It's a tough spot for Yuri Patera to be thrown into, and I thought he did an admirable job. You know, it's just unfortunate that he took the L because I thought he played good enough to get the win.
Well, okay, so you could look at it a couple of different ways, and I'm sure this is going to meet some with resistance. Yuri Patera is very much a reason why the Golden Knights got a point out of that game.
Yeah.
Now, listen, he was excellent in the first period. The Nashville Predators were very good all night long.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a scenario where Nashville turned it on in the third period. I'd even make the argument that the Predators' second period was better than their third. Yuri Patera was good. Yuri Patera made saves. He did his job. And what you ended up getting in this game was the eventual breakdown of the Golden Knights. And that happens. It does. But you can't discount what Yuri did in the early stage of the game because, frankly, with some of the chances the Golden Knights gave up in the first period and some of the chances that they gave up in the second, Vegas could have been trailing going to the third period if not for Yuri Patera and what he did to help his team get points and try to win. All right, let's go back out to the phone line. Bring in Rob. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I think the road trip has been excellent, but yesterday, that's a pattern. I mean, I'm sorry. I hear the fans saying they weren't upset. Well, you should have been upset. They had a 4-1 lead, and they blew it. And this isn't the first time they fell apart in the third period. And that's what troubles me. We didn't see this last year. They would close these games out. And as good as they played, and yeah, Patera played good, but you saw, you know, why he's a third string in the third period. But unfortunately, you know, even the coach says, I don't think they were tired. He says, I think our team's in great shape. So I don't want to say, you know, just say, oh, they were tired. It was no.
I mean, you can believe, Rob, you can believe in their conditioning and still recognize that playing twice in two days with travel against a team that's fresh and waiting for you and also the hottest team in the National Hockey League, like that can be a factor in this game too. I think they faded as the game wore on.
I understand that, but at the end of the day, they were up by 3 goals.
Yes.
And they got outscored 4 goals in the third, and you know, including overtime. That's not acceptable, and it's not the first time. That's the problem. We've seen this more this year than any year.
Yeah, it's the first time the Golden Knights have allowed 3 goals in regulation.
No, but it's not just this game now.
No, I understand. So Mike, so Rob, what do you want to see then? What are you looking for? How do you get it better? How do you get it better? How do you improve it? What do you think the issue is?
Well, I think they took the foot off the gas.
I don't believe that for a second.
At the end, I think they did a little bit, and then they about 7 minutes they tried to get it back when the game was tied, and they were the better team from about 7 minutes in to the end. But let's be honest, their goaltender played great.
He's one of the best goalies in the league.
Yeah. So you knew we were in trouble once the game was tied because they had a big advantage at goaltender. I mean, we had our opportunities. You know, Mantha had that breakaway. So, but the bottom line is they got to close these games out because these are the kind of games you're going to see in the playoffs. You know, and they just need to get more physical. They just, I don't know what it is. I don't know because, honestly, the team is the same pretty much. It's just, and I think they're even better with Hanifin. I think Hanifin has been outstanding.
Yeah, Hanifin's been great. You're still, you know, on Mark Stone. That's a big key.
But they had, you know, Stone has been out for a while now, and I think they've recuperated from that. I think they got back to playing without him.
Yeah.
Howden has been great since he's come back. Carrier was a big loss.
Yeah, 100%.
He gives us something. But they just need to close these games out. I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously, they don't know what it is, or it won't keep happening.
Sure.
That's my only concern.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's a valid concern. Like, I'm not trying to push back on that. I think you're right. Third periods have been an issue for the Golden Knights of late. I don't view yesterday as this collapse from Vegas because it wasn't Vegas under siege for 20 minutes. And thanks, Rob, for the call. It was Vegas, like, I don't think they took their foot off the gas. I really don't. And I know shots on goal, like, don't tell the entire story, but the Golden Knights carried the rate of play in terms of shots on goal in the third period. Go back and look. There were only 8 shots for the Nashville Predators. It was every opportunity that they had ended up in the back of the net. And sometimes you have periods like that. It just happens. Go back to the Golden Knights' first regulation loss of the season in Anaheim against the Ducks, right? It was a scenario where the Golden Knights had a 2-0 lead going into the third period, and the Ducks had 4 shots on goal, and they scored on 3 of them. It's just one of those periods of hockey where even though it looks bad on the whole, I don't think the Golden Knights were that bad in the third period. I could be wrong, but to my eyes, I didn't see it. Anyway, thanks to everybody that called. That was phenomenal. Should be like that every single week. Maybe when you have 3 games to talk about, it really livens the mood a bit. But I do want to throw this out because we haven't been able to get to it recently with early games. The jackpot word of the day on Fox Sports Las Vegas, where you can win $2,024. Word of the day is Dune. Dune. D-U-N-E. Dune. Got to spell it right. Text that into the text line, 702-876-1340. We're going to talk about goalies next on the VGK Insider Show. Mallard coming up in hour number 2. We'll get into game ratings then. It's in the show notes. Not just for Nashville, but also St. Louis and Columbus, because we haven't done a show, and the Golden Knights have played 3 games, and they've gotten quite a few points out of those 3 games. So we'll get into game ratings there. In hour number 2, we've also got one-timers coming up next. But I do want to talk about goaltending, and it was a question that we saw on the text line, and you can always reach us on the text line, 702-876-1340. There's something that you disagree with, you can shoot us a text there. We'll get to it as we can over the course of the show. But, you know, some of the questions, some people don't like to call into the radio program, so they'll throw some questions our way. And the natural progression of getting into this conversation is with a noteworthy interview from Marty Brodeur. Everybody knows Marty Brodeur, the second best goaltender in the National Hockey League, behind Dominic Hasek. Nothing. You don't have anything to say to that. You're not going to open your mic for that.
Well, at least you're admitting he's better than Patrick Waugh.
I forgot about Waugh. The third best goaltender in NHL history, Marty Brodeur. Thanks for clarifying that for me. I completely forgot about Patrick Waugh. He's a coach now. I forgot he was a goalie.
You forgot that he's better than Patrick Waugh. That's understandable.
No, yeah. Well, it is what it is. Anyway, Marty Brodeur, in an interview with The Athletic's Pierre LeBrun, said this, quote, "I think we baby our goalies. I see it. I'm part of it. It's like my goalie coach will say he's played 5 games in the past 8 days. And I'm like, so? Question mark." End quote. So when you look at Marty Brodeur, played 22 seasons in the National Hockey League. He played at least 70 games in 12 of those 22 seasons. The workload today, generally speaking, when it comes to goaltenders, you're looking at 55 games for your number 1A, right? That's the tandem nature of goaltending in today's National Hockey League. Brodeur claims, he argues, that when the workload is like that, when you've got a 1A and a 1B and you're trying to keep everybody fresh and you don't ever want goaltenders to play both ends of a back-to-back, that you're putting them into a situation where 1 year they can be elite and great, and the next year they just never find their rhythm. And that the more games that you play, 73, 75 in Brodeur's case, the more of a rhythm you get into and the better you are. Which logically makes sense to me, especially for a position that relies so heavily on reads, reactions, and feeling good and comfortable in what you're doing. Now, I bring this up, one, because I love the fact that Brodeur is just like, yeah, we baby goalies. He has the ability to say that, given the fact that he started 73 games almost every year that he played. But you look at the final 10 games for the Golden Knights. Adin Hill is currently out with an injury. We have no idea what the timeline looks like, and there are only 2.5 weeks left, really, in the regular season. 10 games, no back-to-backs for the Vegas Golden Knights. I am of the mind, and I was asked this going into the game last night. I was asked this today on the text line, Robert threw this out there. Should Logan Thompson have played both ends of the back-to-back to start this road trip? Absolutely not. I don't believe he should have. I don't have any issue with Bruce Cassidy going to Jiří Patera last night, but now it's different. You've got 10 games over the final 2.5 weeks of the regular season. If Aiden Hill's not available, how many of those games does Logan Thompson start? Now, if you're Marty Brodeur, he starts them all. And it wouldn't even be a question as to whether or not he would start them all. What say you?
Well, I'll start by saying I don't think the take by Martin Brodeur is all that outrageous.
It's not wild.
I don't think it's as hot as a take as maybe some other radio shows around the country in North America are probably saying today. I think he might be onto something, because I think the guys who I consider to be the best goalies in the league, and I'm talking about Connor Hellebuck's, the Sorokins.
Andre Vasilevsky's.
Well, he was hurt to start the season.
Well, sure, but yeah, when he's healthy,
he's in there.
He's playing a lot.
The Bobrovskys, who's having a phenomenal season, might be winning another Vezina trophy with the season that Sergei Bobrovsky's having. These guys are all, the guy we saw last night, these guys are all going to have probably close to 60 starts apiece. Look, Saros is at 57, Georgiev at 56, Hellebuck at 53. I think he's probably not that crazy. I mean, the Golden Knights got the job done with the tandem last year. And well, there was a stretch where they played five goalies in five games and won all five. Not every team has that luxury. I like the idea of a guy like Connor Hellebuck who says, I'm not coming out.
Mm-hmm.
If I can play, I'm playing. And it's benefited the Winnipeg Jets. They're a contender for the Stanley Cup because Connor Hellebuck is that guy.
My counter argument to that, and it's the same counter argument that I've had every single time we've seen Connor Hellebuck in the postseason, he wilts. There's fatigue. You can't get around that.
I mean, to be fair to him, he hasn't always had the best team. In fact, I would make the case he's never had the best team.
Well, year one, they were pretty good.
That year, yes.
And he wasn't.
No, from the second period on of game one.
And he wasn't great for them last year in the opening round series.
No, maybe Vegas just has his number.
It's possible, but you can make the same case for Jake Oettinger. You put Jake Oettinger into a situation where he's playing too many games. You get to the playoffs where you got to go every night. He wasn't particularly good in the Western Conference Final.
Yeah, I think Vasilevsky probably I think he's kind of the counter to that. Like last year, Florida makes the Cup Final.
Mm-hmm.
Bobrovsky didn't play a ton. Like no. He wasn't even their number one goalie to start.
And famously with Bobrovsky, he needs rest.
Yeah.
You cannot push him too hard in terms of regular season starts if you want the best version of Sergei Bobrovsky in the playoffs.
But he did get a big break between the Eastern Conference Final and Game 1, and it didn't matter. Well, Vegas was just that good.
They were just better.
But yeah. I think to answer the second question, I think Logan Thompson starts every single game down the stretch.
10 in a row.
I think he's, and look, you go back to two seasons ago, you pull up his game logs, and there were two separate stretches where he played like 7-8 games in a row, including some back-to-backs. I think it's his net from here on out. As long as Aiden Hill is on the shelf,
yep.
And it's not a knock on Jiří Patera. It's just that Logan Thompson is your best goalie right now. He gives you the best chance to win games. And look, you and I had the conversation just last week. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday that I thought maybe Thompson should have had the opportunity to go out there and win the job. And now, whether by hook or by crook, he's got the opportunity to go out there and cement himself to be the goalie for this franchise going into the playoffs.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, because I'm not far off from where you are. I think as long as you're chasing the playoffs.
Yes, that's the one caveat.
Logan Thompson's in net if Aiden Hill's not available.
That's the caveat, because if you're in the playoffs and you get to those last few games, that
Chicago-Anaheim.
Anaheim, you know what? Call up another kid from Henderson, throw him in there.
No, it's not even that. You ask Logan what he needs.
Yeah.
Right? Like
if it's
becoming clear that he's going to be the guy game one of the playoffs, and that's, again, going to really depend on Aiden Hill's health, whether or not he's going to be back, and really how well Logan Thompson's playing. And right now, you have every reason to believe that he's going to play well. So if you make the playoff, you clinch a playoff spot with three games left, I don't think you play him in all three of those games.
No, no. But if you're chasing a playoff spot all the way up until that Anaheim game.
Yeah, if you need a win in the final game of the year to make the playoffs,
yeah.
Logan Thompson's playing every single
game. Now, I will add that I hope that they have a playoff spot clinched by that point. But if not, you got to play him. I mean, he's better than Yuri Patera. And it's not a knock on Yuri Patera. It's just that Logan Thompson's a better goalie. Logan Thompson was an all-star in this league. So I think you play him as much as you need to,
mm-hmm.
with the caveat being once you clinch that playoff spot, yeah, you talk to him. Hey, of these last three games, how many do you need to be ready for the playoffs? Or whatever it is, four games. What's
the more ridiculous take? Marty Brodeur saying that goalies are babied today? Or Marty Brodeur's the third best goalie in NHL history?
I think it's the second part.
No, it isn't. No, it's not.
That he's the third greatest goalie. I think, you know, clearly, I like to run with the bit that he was better than Hasek. We could put that to bet that Dominik Hasek's the greatest goalie to ever play.
You believe that, right?
Yes. I like to push back because I grew up a Devils fan. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, but look. We could have the argument all day for number two.
Mm-hmm.
Hasek was on another planet.
Best goalie ever.
Easily. Easily the best goalie ever.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I mean, I as far as the take, like I said, I don't think that his take that they're babied, it's not much different in baseball when you see these old school pitchers talking about, oh, well, we'd throw four or five complete games in a row. Now they're pulling a pitcher after five innings. Well, yeah, because it's so specialized, and you know it's the analytics aspect of mm-hmm. this. And look, to an extent, the Golden Knights proved that you don't need a goalie who starts 60 times to win a Stanley Cup. But those instances are few and far between.
Well, Chapman, none of what the Golden Knights did last year with goaltending
was
by design in any way, shape, or form.
No, it's not the way anyone ever drew it up. But
like
look,
you don't go into the playoffs expecting that your guy is going to go down with an injury in the middle of round number two against the best offensive team in the playoffs in the Edmonton Oilers, and you're going to a guy who had to come back from injury himself.
Yeah.
Himself. And he goes on a ridiculous run.
I know. It's not according to script.
No, not at all.
And, you know, it worked out, but you've seen some teams try to copy it and get it done. You know, what's kind of crazy is you look at some of the guys that we would expect to have a lot more starts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shesterkin's only at 45. I'm sorry, 48.
That's the Jonathan Quick experience.
Yeah. I mean, look, when you have that capable backup, and you can give a guy rest. I mean, I think Hellebuck plays a lot because for a long time, maybe they weren't confident in who the number two guy is. Mm-hmm. I like Laurent Brossoit.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a nice guy.
Capable backup.
Yep. Yeah, very capable backup. But Hellebuck is not a guy you give, especially with what you're paying him.
Yeah.
He's not a guy you're giving 60-40 split in the net.
Okay. Let us know if you agree with us or disagree with us. You can hit us on the text line, or you can hit us up on X at Ryan Hockey Guy at Magnum 702. Do you believe if Aiden Hill is unavailable for the Golden Knights the rest of the way with 10 games left, should Logan Thompson start them all? You let us know. We're back with more on the VGK Insider Show. Hour number two is just around the corner. Darren Millard will join us, get into game ratings, dig in a little bit deeper into last night's 5-4 overtime loss to the Nashville Predators. We'll also hit one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Mallard's going to be around for that. And then everyone's favorite segment, catching up with Chapman. It's all coming up next on Fox Sports Las Vegas.